joined now by the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Wyatt, how you doing, man?
I'm good, partner. Good to talk to you again.
Same here. And I think the last time that we spoke, it was right before the football season, and we were chatting about how difficult the K-State football schedule could be. And we're talking about the potential to have a good year. And I know all of us here at the radio station, we usually make predictions before the season. And a lot of us had K-State around 7 wins. I think I had 8-4. And I think Dusty might have had 8-4. So we're a little bit optimistic. Are you a little bit surprised they got to 8-4? Or was that something that you were expecting?
Well, that's a good question. To be honest, I hadn't really given it a ton of thought. I rarely, you know, predict and say they'll be 8-4, 9-3, whatever. But I think I would tell you, in all honesty, I thought the team had a chance to win 7, 8, 9 games, somewhere in that vicinity. But a lot of things, had to happen positively for that to be the case. Keep in mind now, when this season started, we were playing a first-time quarterback.
Yeah.
And working with a retooled offensive line that had just one returning starter, and that starter moved from center to right tackle. So there were a lot of things going on there. And now you look all these weeks later, it's been quite a journey. And I think Coach Snyder did a great job with this bunch, no doubt about it.
Do you believe, because we hear this term a lot, overachieving, and sometimes you can take that as a compliment. Sometimes it can be a little bit disrespectful. Do you think this team overachieved?
Well, no, I can't say that. I think that's a really good question, too. I don't see it that way necessarily, mm-hmm. and yet I think some would.
Yeah.
Everything changes as you go through a season. As an example, 2 weeks after we played Stanford, who would have thought they would have finished 9-3, as an example?
Right.
When the season started, who would have thought that West Virginia would win 10 games?
Mm-hmm.
You get the point. Yeah. It doesn't always play out exactly the way you think it would be. I remember saying what a most difficult stretch we had, where you get into November and you've got Oklahoma State at home, you're at Baylor, you've got KU at home, your rival, and then you go to TCU. Well, you look at that stretch, and Kansas State won 3 of those 4 games and really had an opportunity to win all 4. Probably wouldn't have thought that in August. So things do change for sure.
We're speaking with the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. He is our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Down. Certainly, K-State, you mentioned Oklahoma State game. There was also the West Virginia game. K-State very easily could be 10-2. And I know there's been a lot of talk, and I think this is going to happen every single year now until Bill Snyder steps away, whether it's health reasons or whether he decides to actually retire as coach at K-State. But we're going to go through the song and dance, I think, every single season the rest of the way, and that is, will this be Coach Snyder's last year? Will he come back next year? And I don't know what you've been hearing, but to me, I can't believe he would step away now. He's got a team coming back next year that's going to be really, really good, more experienced. He played a lot of underclassmen this year. I just don't see why Bill Snyder would step away. I don't understand the whole thinking he's going to.
You said a lot there. I have never one time thought that this would be it. And I believe that there's no question that he'll be back in 2017. What will happen after that, I don't think we know that. But I say this every day of my life, Wade. You've been around here a while. You know how this works. I get asked every day of my life how much longer.
Yes.
And I don't know, and I'm not sure he knows, but I think I have a good enough feel to tell you with complete certainty that his intention is to return for next year. I just believe that in my heart. I've given no indication in any way, shape, or form to believe anything other than that.
When we talk about, I know they have a bowl game coming up against Texas A&M. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But you certainly, as a K-State fan, and I think as a K-State announcer, you have to be very excited about what's on the horizon next year if you stay healthy. You certainly lose a couple of key players on the defense, but yet you have to be excited about what's going to come back and the experience that this team gained this year. And the thing that really, I think, would excite me as a K-State fan, and it might be boring to some when you run the ball a lot, but K-State's – but if you win games. I mean, I've heard some K-State fans, and I know Dusty. This is Dusty's pet peeve, and you know our sports director, Dusty Dinas.
Sure.
Dusty's pet peeve this year, without question, is all of the people making a huge deal on why Winston Dimmel scores touchdowns and gets the ball close to the goal line. And our argument is, who cares? As long as your team is winning, it doesn't have – you don't get style points. It's not about who got the sexiest wins. You can lose a game pretty, but you can win a game ugly. I'll take ugly wins like the Chiefs get, or get some lucky wins here and there. It's all about the W. That's why you get hired and fired and so forth and so on. You don't think Charlie Strong would take some of these wins where you run the ball 90% of the time? I just sit here and I look at what K-State's done, and it seems to me that we talk about Jesse Ertz has gotten better. We talk about Alex Barnes getting the ball a little bit more. But what we should be talking about is the offensive line.
Sure. But that's boring to most people.
Yes.
And I almost equate it this way. It's like the fans griping about Alex Smith and his numbers, despite the fact that they have won 20 of their last 24 regular season games.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's nuts. I don't know how. I have to try to be nice here, but there are just some people you can't argue with on stuff like this.
Right.
When you were talking there, there were several things that were rolling through my head years and years ago when I first went to Colorado State. I worked with a guy by the name of Earl Bruce. You're probably too young to remember.
No, I remember him actually.
He was from that Woody Hayes, Ohio State era, and I asked him about throwing the ball one time, and he said, "Let me tell you something, young man." He said, "Three things can happen when you throw the ball, and two of them are bad." I've never, ever, ever forgotten that. Now, I don't necessarily agree with it either.
Sure.
But I think there's something to be said about the way K-State plays football, or at least tries to play football. They want balance, but they want success in the run game. So many now, all over the country, spread offenses, and that's great. But I still maintain the best teams at any level, run the ball well first and foremost, always. That's one thing that never changes, in my personal opinion.
No, I agree with you. The voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, is with us here today on the Sports Ticket. So let's look ahead. I know you're excited about this, the Texas Bowl on Wednesday, December the 28th. It will be K-State versus a former Big 12 member, Texas A&M. They lost their quarterback, Trevor Knight, about halfway through the season. They were off to a great start, but typically A&M will start quick, and then they struggle. And they're a team coming in that, not at the top of their game. K-State, it looks like, is, having won five of their last six. This is a golden opportunity for K-State, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. The one thing that's always intrigued me, though, and I'm just being honest about this, is there's enough time between the end of the regular season,
mm-hmm,
and then the start of the bowl season, and then the bowl game itself, that sometimes those kind of things don't always match up. You don't know about the motivation of teams in a bowl campaign. As an example, I mean, what do we think their motivation will be, speaking of A&M, for a team that started 6-0 and then finished 2-4?
Yeah.
Will they be geeked up to play? Will they not? I don't think we know that, and we probably won't know that until we get to the game. But what I can tell you is that, I believe that we have a great city to play in, a great venue to play in. A&M, as you know, has great tradition. The game between Christmas and New Year's, I think, is perfect for people to travel, and we always have wonderful, turnouts for bowl games. So all of those things I'm really excited about. And like you said a while ago, I'm excited about the future because we've got so many kids back. But that future, in part, I think, plays into the bowl. Think about the excitement level of the offseason. If we would happen to go down there and win that game, as an example, and win nine, mm-hmm, with everybody that's back for the spring and next fall, that'd be awesome.
Yes.
You got to go do it.
Well, it's awesome, but it does increase the expectations, and you would definitely, I would much rather have expectations like that than people going in going, oh, I hope we just barely make a bowl game. I'd be happy with 6-6. What K-State done this year, I think it's very impressive. And I know the Big 12 maybe, you know, there might be a little more parity in the Big 12. There's no real dominant team, even though Oklahoma went undefeated in this conference. What do you think of the conference as a whole compared to other conferences in America? Would you agree with the perception out there that, you know, the Big 12 is the best, Pac-12 probably next, along with the ACC, SEC? Because SEC really wasn't that great after Alabama, in my opinion. And then there's the Big 12.
Well, you said a lot there, and I think, for me personally, I think there are a lot of national writers, broadcasters that believe the Big 12 is down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I totally buy it. I understand in part a little bit of the argument. And like what you said, though, I think holds some water. With Oklahoma running the table and having two Heisman finalists, how down are they really?
Mm-hmm.
You've got an Oklahoma State team that won 9 games. You've got a West Virginia team that won 10. I think even towards the bottom, you can look and see what Kansas, but none of those kind of people do that, is the point.
Right.
But how Kansas finished, how Iowa State finished. I think the league is pretty good. Is it the best league in the country? Maybe not, but I think it's one of the better ones. It's hard to compare them. As an example, with not to go off on a tangent here, but as an example, I don't know if you feel like the College Football Playoff Committee got it right getting Washington in or not, but I think it's hard to discern the difference between a Michigan and a Washington when you get right down to the nth degree of it. Now,
right.
That's my opinion.
No, I agree with you on that, and that did lead me into my next question I had ready for you, believe it or not. It's like you're looking at my notes. What, the College Football Playoff, are you okay with the 4 they have in there, or do you think they made a mistake?
Well, a little of both. And usually I'm not a fence rider necessarily. Here's what I mean by that, Wade, and I don't know if you and or your listeners will agree with me or not, but I, as an example, maybe this is the best example. I think Ohio State is one of the best 4 teams in college football this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that if you're going to be in the Final 4, at minimum, you should win your conference. And they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't.
Right.
I think you can also say that maybe they got a little bit of a break in the Michigan game.
Yes.
With a first down call.
Right.
Was that even considered? Probably not. You can also look at it from the perspective of Penn State. Penn State lost twice, but they also beat Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
How much water did that hold? Almost none, from my perspective.
Right.
So there's always that's part of it, is that the greatness of it is that these are the things that we talk about for weeks leading up to the bowls. Now, if I were king for a day, not that you asked about this, but if I were king for a day, here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would expand it to 8.
Yep.
Leave it at 8.
Yep.
You take the 5 Power 5 champions and 3 at large.
Yep.
And I believe that would be as good a system as you could possibly have under the circumstances that we operate.
I am with you.
And not hurt the bowl season that
right.
So many people care about, including our guy, Bill Snyder.
Right. And if you went to 8, you could have the first round at the higher seeded site. Thus, that would encourage you to still schedule some tougher non-con games to help your strength of schedule, so you could be at home
right.
in a 4 or 5 matchup instead of on the road. I like that idea. I'm with you on that. I'll play devil's advocate with you on one thing.
Sure.
If you have to win the and you said that, you know, you really thought that if you're going to be in the Final 4, you should have to win your conference championship. I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a second. If Florida beat Alabama, you think Alabama shouldn't be in the Final 4?
Well, it's a good point. And I think, to be honest, I guess my answer would be this. I think you can argue it either way.
Mm-hmm.
Because much like Ohio State, I think it's obvious that Alabama is one of the best 4 teams.
Right.
And that's why I said what I said about the champions. I think if you know going in that there are going to be 8 teams and you're going to take the 5 Power 5 champions
right.
and 3 at large, whether it be Michigan, Boise State, I mean, name the team, it doesn't matter, Penn
sure.
State, whatever.
Right.
I think the excitement of that would be even more than what we have today.
Right.
And at the end of it, like you say, you play that first round at college sites, and then you get all those traditional bowl things in, and you have a heck of a system. And that's just my opinion only, but I think that would really be neat.
Well, I'm with you. The day that they announced that they were going to a 14 playoff, I right away on the air, I said, this is going to me is worse than the BCS, and here's why. I did, because I said, here's the thing. It's already a flawed system. If you're going to have four teams and you have five power conferences, one power conference champion is out. So if you had five undefeated, I know it's probably slim to none it ever happens, but I'm praying it does happen someday. That would force them to go to eight, in my opinion. If you had Oklahoma, USC, Florida State, Ohio State, and I'm leaving out one of the conferences. But if you had all five, like major players in these five conferences, all went undefeated, or if they all went 12-1, whatever, and they won their conference championship, how do you keep one out? It's already a flawed system because you don't have all the conference champions in, and when you widen it for four, and the same thing would happen if you go to eight, same thing would happen if you go to 16. We see it in the NCAA tournament. You have 68 teams, and still people are whining about who was left out. Now, you're never going to solve that, but how can you have a good system when you're leaving out a Power 5 conference champion to begin with?
Well, I think what you said before is probably the most accurate thing, and that is we're operating with a system that is, what do I call it, imperfect.
Yeah.
Not that it's totally flawed. I don't mean that.
Right.
But, it's kind of like, this is kind of out there, but bear with me here a little bit. It's kind of like baseball. Every level that you see from Little League all the way through the show, including all of the minor league systems, except one league uses the designated hitter.
Right.
So why doesn't the National League adopt the designated hitter, or everybody adopt and go the other way?
Yes.
I know it's equating it strangely. I understand that. But it's trying to make the point that, some argue that, and I understand this too, I guess, some argue that if you go to eight, then somebody's going to want 16.
Right.
And then somebody's going to want 32. Well, okay. But what you really try to strive for is the best for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Power Fives, and you have some other teams that really certainly probably have a pretty good case that they should be in the eight or the four. And that's always going to be the case.
Yep.
Always.
I'm with you. All right, let's get back to the Wildcats here. Jordan Willis, he's going to be one of those guys they will lose going into next year. He was named Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Tell us a little bit about Jordan Willis. I hear he's a great kid, works so hard, and he could be playing on Sundays next year.
Well, I think he will be. I've talked to several people that are probably a lot smarter about next-level stuff than I am, and many of them say that he's probably one of the five or six best rush-ins to get to the quarterback in college football, but maybe the best in terms of how he plays the run. That would, to me, equate to a heck of a player. And wouldn't mind being his agent at some point, but that's probably not going to happen. I'm really proud of him. In my time here, we've had a couple of Big 12 defensive players a year. The other one was Arthur Brown, and I think this guy has had every bit as good a season as Arthur had in 12. So, and like you said, he does everything right, and he's so humble, and he's so hardworking. He's just a great young guy who, his motor, when Bill Snyder talks about him, it reminds me of the elite of the elite in terms of the young people that have played here.
Mm-hmm.
in how he goes about his business, that's about as high praise as I can give the kid, because when he's putting you in the same category of a Darren Sproles or a Mark Cimino, baby, that's walking in tall cotton in my mind.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, totally.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears to the men's basketball team, off to an 8-1 start, and very well could be 9-0 after a narrow loss to Maryland up in New York. And K-State men win last night over Prairie View A&M 74-55. And And we certainly know our boy Austin Budke from Beloit. We know his playing time is being cut into because, well, they've got more depth this year than they had last year, so it's kind of bittersweet for us here in North Central Kansas. But still, at the same time, this is a Wildcat team that, to me, looks more athletic than it was a year ago. It's certainly a deeper team, and it seems, at least so far, to have pretty good chemistry.
Well, I think all of that is accurate, Wade, to be honest. That, you know, this is a team that is shooting it better, both from the field and from three. Probably not where they want to be at the free throw line yet, but part of that, I think, is, you know, on the mental side of things, that happens. I think it is a better team from the standpoint of you've had those three freshmen that went through so much last year, and all of those guys are better, maybe varying degrees of better, but better. Really, I think one of the keys is you've got Wesley Owundu, who I'm really proud of because he's expanded his game every offseason in some way, shape, or form. And in his senior year, he's developed into an awfully fine player on both ends of the floor. DJ Johnson, same kind of thing. DJ is in the best shape of his life. He's healthy. He's stronger but weighs less, which makes him a little bit quicker. What I think the biggest concern for Coach Weber now is those first seven guys are pretty solid. Corby Irvin has improved, understands his role a little bit better, but how far K-State goes is going to probably depend on the guys like Isaiah Maurice and Brian Patrick. I think we've seen enough basketball to say that Xavier Sneed's going to help him.
Right.
He may not end up, when it's all said and done, averaging 12, 15 points a game, and then he might. He's a terrific talent. But those other two guys are going to be key pieces as we move forward, no doubt about it.
What about Dean Wade's development? Certainly as a freshman, he played big minutes, and I how it is. I hear things from fans, and sometimes it's, let's just say it's unfair, okay?
Yeah.
I have to remind some K-State fans out there that Dean Wade is not a senior. He's still developing, and he's still a very fine talent. And he struggled a little bit early in the season, but last night, 19 points. I know it's Prairie View A&M, but this is a kid where, to me, he has a big upside, and I think he's going to realize it.
Well, he has a big upside. Even the detractors, I don't think, would deny that.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's 6'10 and 235 pounds, can shoot it out to three. He can handle it. He can pass. I think what we're describing here is hoping for more consistency.
Right.
You know what? When we talk about guys like this, I always, right or wrong, I look back and remind people of Jacob Pullen.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jacob Pullen is the most perfect example here of a player going from what he did as a freshman through the gamut through his senior year. The natural thing to do is think about Jake now and remember that he was an All-American as a senior.
Yeah.
But he wasn't an All-American as a sophomore. And he wasn't an All-American as a junior. You see where I'm going?
Yes.
I think that's the thing. I mean, I know it is hard to be patient in a world that we live in now with the, as Coach Snyder says, the instant gratification things. I understand all of that. But this is a kid that's roughly played, 40 games?
Yeah.
I would say, let me make sure I'm accurate on that, Dean Wade. I'm looking at my stats right now. Dean Wade has played in 42 games in his career and started 40 of them. From my perspective, he's just kind of getting started good.
Yeah.
And I think he, in the last three games, has been better and more consistent. What's going to happen is he'll be judged on what happens forward and in particular in conference play. But you know what? The whole team will be, honestly.
Well, when he has a last name Wade, he's got to be, a tremendous talent that's going to turn into something really good. Yeah, perfect. Okay, before we let you go, a couple more. Wildcat Classic coming up this weekend at Sprint Center in Kansas City. I expect to see a lot of purple there. Washington State, K-State, Saturday, 7 o'clock tip-off. What can you tell me about the Cougars?
Well, interesting team. They haven't played exceptionally well, and that's obvious if you look at their record at 4-4. They do play at home tonight against Idaho, and then basically tomorrow head right to Kansas City. They'll They'll actually be there before K-State will get there. But they have a coach in Ernie Kent who's been around the game a long time, had a couple of Elite Eight teams at Oregon. I know a couple of their assistant coaches. Sylvie Dominguez was a guy that I knew many, many years ago when I first went to Colorado State. Really good basketball mind. They have size. They have a 7-footer and a 6'10 kid up front. They have not played as well in the backcourt. But I think this will be a challenging game. I don't think it'll be necessarily the best team K-State will play all year long, but I think it'll be a good team. Maybe not quite as good as Maryland, but a good team. We'll see. But I think they'll be represented. And I hope our fans show up. Usually we have good crowds in Kansas City. I hope that's the case now. Maybe I look at it differently way than some, because we lost a lot of tough close ball games last year. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deny that.
Right.
And there was some frustration there. Part of that was when we lost Kamau, that was a blow. It's hard to go through the final 10, 12 games of the year without your point guard.
Yeah.
It's just a fact of life. But we did lose some games that we could have won, maybe even should have won. I would say don't be quite as judgmental yet. We're still early. I think this team, like we have talked about in the last 10 minutes, is better. Let's see how it plays out. When we get into those conference games, they've got to be better, and they've got to be better on the road. If those two things happen, then we'll probably have more happy people at the end of this journey. How's that for wrapping it up in a bow?
I like that. Now I'm going to try to wrap this up with a couple interesting questions for you, okay?
Okay.
Is there or will there be a shortage of basketballs in Manhattan? Because for crying out loud, the women get their, 300th win at Bramlage, and then there was the Coach Mitty got his 500th win. Coach Weber got his 400th win last night. The women's basketball team can get their 900th in program history tonight. And what else am I leaving out? Are they going to have enough milestone basketballs to pass around? They're all happening at the same time there in Manhattan.
It is really interesting, isn't it? I'm not sure if the answer is yes or no, to be perfectly honest. But we have had those kind of, I mean, and you mentioned just basketball, but you think about Coach Snyder.
Well, right.
Susie Fritz in volleyball had 300 this fall.
That's right.
Bill Self last night got 600.
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things that's kind of been sticking. I said to Coach Mitty after I guess it was maybe Monday or Tuesday, after he got 500 in Omaha on Sunday, and I think you were there, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, I said to him, so how do you feel about 500? He said, I'm more happy with the 8-0 than I am the 500.
Yes.
You know, even though they didn't play all that well, because they've got a pretty good UT Arlington team in here tonight, and then, of course, Connecticut on Sunday. So, and when I talked to Coach Weber last night about 400, he's already talking about 401 and 402 at the Pepsi Center against Colorado State. So they'll reflect back on it at some point, I think, but not as much as you might think right now, because they're just, there's just so much in their mind about the next one, the next one, the next one.
Yeah, Coach Mitty was complaining to me in a pregame interview that he's going to have to speak at a banquet now because he has 500, and he didn't want to reflect, as you mentioned. In the postgame interview, I said, well, you know, congratulations, number 500. I know you don't want to talk much about it. You're 8-0, and what did you think about your team's performance today? And he said, I didn't think it was very good. I don't think we improved in any area. I'm like, well, this will be a 500th you'll remember for the rest of your life. Coaches are so tough, man. They're always looking for perfection, as we know.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
Okay, finally, our off-the-wall question, Wyatt, before we let you go. When I was down at the Virgin Islands covering the women's team, there was something kind of creeped me out a little bit, and that was a lot of iguanas. They were big iguanas. And they were the side of me, left and right, walking down to the beach. I know it was a rough gig. And walking down the steps, they're in my way, and I didn't know whether or not I should step on them, jump over them. Would they bite me? Would they kill me? Should I go back the other way? So here's your off-the-wall question. That creeped me out a little bit. It freaked me out a little bit. Freaked out other people. What creeps or freaks you out, Mr. Thompson?
Wow. That is a little bit out there.
Yeah.
I guess I would tell you that I'm most like my father in several ways, but the one that is a certainty is fear of snakes.
Ooh, yeah.
My dad wasn't scared of anything in life except snakes. And if you wanted to see a man run and run fast, all you had to do was get a snake anywhere in the hemisphere close to him, and he became Usain Bolt or somewhat close. I don't know if my fear is as high as his, but it's up there. It may be an 8.8 or such a matter, and his was 99999. How about that?
That's not bad. I'll accept that answer. does it matter how big the snake is, or does it just freak you out no matter
what? It could be a little garden snake. It didn't matter to him.
Okay. Okay.
It's hard to explain that, but he really, truly was fearful of them, no doubt about it.
I must say, I'm not a big fan of snakes either, so I can relate to your dad on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, as always, we appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, Wyatt, and we'll talk to you again soon later in the basketball season. Have a great call on Saturday.
Well, thanks, partner. Appreciate you helping us out from time to time. You do good work. Good to be on with you again.
Thanks, man. Take care, Wyatt.
Okay, bud.
That's Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats here on the Sports Ticket.